This morning, we're going to continue in a kind of a series that I started the very first week of January on commitment. Now, this week, I guess if you want a title, I'm usually not really good at titles. I'll call this one, How to Pass a Test Without Cheating. How to Pass a Test Without Cheating. I looked at the ones who were laughing, so I'll be talking with you after. But all right, why don't we start with the scripture that we've been using kind of as our core scripture. Let's look. And you can turn your Bibles if you want. I'll also have it in the screen behind us. Is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I've been kind of changing the version every week to try to find something new. This week, I think this is the Good News translation. What I, like I said, I have fun when I'm doing just studying the Bible is finding different translations of the Bible, because it just seems that each one of the people who translated it found a different way of saying it. And sometimes one of them will resonate better with me than others. Have you found that? You know, sometimes the King James does it, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I don't get it, and so I go to other places that help me understand it better. Sorry, the Good News version. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. So we've been talking about, especially the last 2 weeks, I've tried to build a foundation on that we serve a God who models high commitment. We do. Matter of fact, from the beginning of time, God has invested in us. He's committed himself to us. He's taken care of our needs. He's protected us. And even sometimes, he's even given us above needs, right? He's even given us some of our wants sometimes. But what we can say is that we can, with really no doubt in our mind, 100% certainty that God has been 100% committed to us. Always, always. And so there's nothing that God is not willing to do for us, right? Even to the point of giving his son to die on a cross for us. Now, we've also learned that because of God's high commitment to us, he's expecting the same level of commitment from us. Anyone who wants the benefit of being called his son or daughter, he wants that. Now, we didn't just talk about the benefits of doing that, but we also spent a good amount of time, how do we position ourselves to become people of high commitment? Now, that's hard because we live in a world where low commitment is the standard, right? Low commitment, matter of fact, sometimes no commitment is the standard. And so we've almost been conditioned that it's okay. And what we're trying to say is that, no, it's not okay. So we're going to be spending the next few weeks in the book of Daniel. Now, the book of Daniel is a cool book. The first half is basically just a bunch of cool stories. A number of them you've heard. If you've been in church for a while, I guarantee you got them in children's church. And the second half of the book is basically a bunch of prophecy. We won't cover that part of the book. We're going to cover the first half. Now, what we will learn is that God is always willing to be committed to us when we commit ourselves to him, no matter the cost. We're going to read about really some great struggles, cool stories, times when God came through, and also times where it just, what God does doesn't make sense, especially in the beginning of the story. We're going to look at it and say, God, why would you do that? Have that ever happened in your life where you've been sorry to go through something and you literally are looking at God saying, God, why did you do that? You're not alone. Daniel dealt with that. Now, what we'll find in common, though, is that God honors those who honors commitment to him completely. He does. Now, how many of you remember taking tests at school? How many remember that? Some of you kids are, they're like, yeah, just have one on Friday. I mean, some of you're literally living that right now. Now, tests were always a measure of what you've learned, right? Well, they should be, right? A good test is one that measures what you learn. Now, some tests you're told about beforehand, right? They'll tell you, all right, on Thursday, we're having this test. Sometimes they're even nice and they'll even give you kind of like a study packet, right? They'll say, all right, these are the things that you need to know. Learn this stuff, you know. They may even give you a practice test. Have you ever had like a practice test, like before you had like the real one? And it was always kind of a gauge of like, oh, crap, I failed the practice test. I better study. You know what I've learned, though, is the best test, though? You ever had a pop quiz? Hated them, didn't you? Unless you knew the information, right? Then you were like, woohoo, I know this stuff. But pop quizzes, I always learned, they were really the better judge of how well you knew something, right? Because if you did really well in a pop quiz, you know that information. You got it down. Because, look, some of us are really good at taking tests. We can spend maybe a day before and put in all this information, stuff it in our brain, and we can, like, you know, barf it all out the next day in the test. But then 2 days later, we don't remember any of it, right? But a pop quiz, the ones you don't know that are coming, that's a true test of where you're at. Remember, I even remember some people in school, they would try to think of any way they could to not learn the information. And so they would cheat because they didn't want, they were lazy. And so they would come up with ways of getting around the test because they didn't want to learn anything. But our lives are full of tests. Matter of fact, our lives, I'm learning, are full of pop quizzes, if you haven't noticed. And they will quickly show our commitment level to God. And what we want to do today is we want to learn to become a people who are willing to follow after God, even when it seems that God has abandoned us, even when we do not understand what's going on in our life. See, high commitment will be required in this world because of just of weird situations and honestly, some difficult people that'll be in our life. High commitment is going to be required. But see, there'll be many opportunities to choose other things over God. There really will be. But if we commit ourselves to God even before those things happen, it's not even going to be a decision. The decision will have already been made, and it will be to follow God. When that becomes your lifestyle, you're going to pass every test. You'll pass every pop quiz with flying colors. Now, let me just give you a little background in the book of Daniel where we're going. The nation of Israel at the time of Daniel finds themselves divided. There's like a north empire and a south one. And they've not been living a lifestyle that that honors God. They've allowed foreign gods to enter into their life, and they begin serving God, their Jehovah, and other things. God doesn't like it. Matter of fact, when you in your life allow other things to come in and start taking the priority and taking the high level in your life, God doesn't like it. And so what we find here is that Israel actually is getting attacked from all different sides. You have three big nations that surround it. You have the nation of Egypt, you have the nation of Assyria, and you have the nation of Babylon. Now, at this point of time, the big nation was Assyria. They were the biggest one. Babylon didn't like it. So Babylon fought back, and they actually got to the point where they conquered both Egypt and Assyria. And so there was this guy, his name was Nebuchadnezzar. He defeated them. He starts coming back home to celebrate. On the way back home from Egypt, he has to pass by Jerusalem. So you know what he decides? Hey, as I pass by Jerusalem, let's go over there and take some stuff, you know? I mean, we won, so, and Israel can't do anything, so we'll just march over there and grab some things. So turn your Bible to Daniel, if you haven't gotten there already. Daniel chapter 1. We'll start in verse 1 and verse 2. Now, like I said, I'll have it on the screen behind. So here we go. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, I think, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Now, Let's remember this one thing. God is greater than anything. God is greater than anything. I find it interesting that as soon as we dive into the book of Daniel, no nation conquered Israel. If you read the verses there, the Bible says, who delivered? The Lord delivered them into his hand. It also says that God even delivered some of the articles from his temple into their hand. It's a reminder for those that are following after God that he is trustworthy. He is all-powerful. Nothing happens that he does not allow, that he does not have knowledge of and ultimately does not have control over. We may not understand the whys of things happen, but we can stand firm in the fact that he is God and there is nothing greater than him. But it's also a reminder that there are consequences for not staying 100% committed to God. There are consequences. I mean, we'll continue in verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. So here we see there are even more consequences for disobedience. The Babylonians, they grabbed the best and they brought them back to their country. You know, and as bad as this situation looks like, what I love about the stories in the Bible is that there, even when it seems like things are out of control, when things seem like, can it get any worse? There's always a remnant of highly committed people that God can find and can use in order to accomplish his purpose. I've also learned that these faithful people, they also end up dealing with consequences that they had nothing to do with. They had these, as we'll learn through this story, these were not people serving other gods. These were not people who were doing anything that deserves to be put in captivity. Matter of fact, sometimes bad decisions that happen, that you make in life, sometimes they will just affect you, right? Most of the time, they affect lots of people. Have you noticed? I mean, getting a DUI, cheating on your spouse, gambling problems, or other selfish sins, they don't just affect you, right? They don't. Matter of fact, I can promise you that those choices will impact so many more people other than you that really did nothing to deserve the consequences that they're dealing with. I mean, can you imagine being taken from your country? The march to Babylon? I mean, they estimate that the young men that were taken were probably between the ages of 13 to 15. That's about how old they were. You know, so basically, Philip, you would have been one of the oldest ones that were marching toward Babylon. And they were of royalty. These were nobles. So these were people who were used to being taken care of. These were people that were used to being in charge. Not anymore. This is kind of a little bit of a role reversal, right? But see, God still had a plan and a purpose. He knew exactly which ones needed to be taken to Babylon. Yeah, I meant what I said. God chose who was taken into captivity. Doesn't that seem mean? God, take the bad ones. Take the ones that have been disobedient. Don't take the good ones. The good ones, let them stay home with their family and friends. They don't deserve to be taken into captivity. Just like when God allowed Judah to be raided, you see here was the beginning of a plan for salvation for the entire nation. God was already putting in motion exactly who needed to go, what they were going to need to overcome, how they needed to be trained, what character lessons were going to be needed in their life. God needed to be able to weed out the ones who were of low commitment versus high commitment. See, he needed to know the ones that were going to be standing tall when things got hard. Now, listen, put on verse 5. This is kind of like the first few years of what's going to happen to them. Verse 5, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, he gave Meshach. And to Azariah, he gave Abednego. Now, what we're talking about here is a boarding school with no return. There's no return visits. You're there and that's it. You're just there. As a matter of fact, they were going to be trained to be servants of the king. They were going to be taught the language, culture, food protocol, anything that they believed they needed in order to become quality servants for the new foreign king. Now, they even went to the lengths of changing their names. Now, you may not, understand this, but to the Hebrew people, this was big. See, when they were given a name, that was their birthright. Matter of fact, their names had meanings. Matter of fact, their names quite often were very prophetic. It literally was what they were going to accomplish in life. And the people there, they kind of tried to steal that from them. But did you notice? They're actually the first test for Daniel and his friends happened. Did you notice that in verse 5? They were given a daily amount of food from the king's table. Now, at first glance, you'd be like, what's wrong with that? I mean, they're prisoners. They should be happy. They should be thankful. They're not only getting fed, they're getting the good stuff. They're getting the stuff that literally the king himself got to eat. Now, and this is the interesting thing about some of the tests that happen to our commitment level, in the world. Sometimes they seem pretty innocent, the test. Sometimes they actually seem like a blessing, don't they? And if you don't take those lessons to God and get God's opinion, take them to other wise people that you know, get some counsel from them, you've got to be careful when a test comes. Because sometimes what may seem like a blessing is actually a curse. It's something that's dangerous, that would actually is there to do you harm. Now, it's interesting. In verse 8, it says, but Daniel resolved to not defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. It's interesting. So we have Daniel resolved. Now, the King James Version actually says purposed. The Message says determined. The NIRV says decided. See, people who have a high level of commitment, they position themselves to be ready to make the right decision regardless of what the outcome is going to be. They're ready. Okay? What do I mean by that? Daniel right then and there decided that regardless of whether the Babylonians were going to be willing or not to allow him and his friends to not eat the king's food, he already made the decision. We're not eating the king's food. They would rather refuse and obey God. Daniel made a purpose, and he determined to follow God no matter the cost. So right then and there, he's decided, I'm not eating the king's food. Now, how often do we go into the situations with the decision already made? The decision is regardless of what the cost will be, regardless of what the outcome will be, we've already went into decisions with the choice made, I'm going to follow God no matter what. That's not easy, because often I've noticed with Christians is that, another thing that we'll see in here is Daniel made the decision to follow God. But he did it in a way that was different than I see in a lot of Christians. You know how he did it? He approached the official with honor, with respect. He knew who was in authority over him. I've noticed that sometimes those in the church will use the Bible if it says one thing that's countercultural. They use that as an excuse to be disrespectful to those who are in authority over them. Have you noticed that? Let's say your boss asks you to work on a Sunday and you decide to set him straight. Well, no, I can't work on Sundays because I'm a Christian. And, according to the Bible, I'm not allowed to work on Sunday. And so, no, I'm not working. See, if Daniel didn't approach the authority over him with honor and respect, I don't think God would have honored his approach. Because we see right there in verse 9, right after it says, now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. See, I believe when we honor those who are in authority over us, God will bless us. I do. I believe God will bless us. Favor actually is the word for mercy and kindness. Compassion, they actually describe that as it's tender love. Matter of fact, that word used, they said it's the kind of love that a mother shows to a baby that's literally still inside them. It's still inside their womb. That's the tenderness that that word is trying to imply. You got to remember that Daniel's and his friends, they're captives. They're living with their enemies. Yet by showing them honor and respect to those in authority, and this is whether they agree with them or not, God does a miracle for them. And we'll see that. I mean, I guess I look at it as this way. Do we want to be known as the right church or the loving church? Well, see, because when we attack those who are in authority over us, even when they are 100% wrong, it's 100% against what the Bible says. God will not bless us. He won't. God will bless us when we instead use our love to honor and respect them. He will. We're called to be bridge builders. We're called to be restorers. We're not called to be punishers or judgers. It's not what we're called to be. So why won't God bless disrespect? Well, is there any reason for God to bless your relationship with someone if you're not showing them love and honor and respect? No, there isn't. But if you're showing someone that, what are you doing? You're building influence with them, right? You are allowing yourself an opportunity to shine love into them that they would never receive if you did not love and honor and respect them before. It continues, verse 10. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. I can people say, see, Pastor, it didn't work. It didn't work. Look, it didn't work. Yes, just because you do the right thing and God gives you favor to those who are against you, that doesn't mean that everything's going to immediately become easy and comfortable and convenient. It doesn't. Matter of fact, quite often the opposite will happen. The unsaved do not understand the God's plan in your life. They don't. He had no idea. I mean, in his mind, I can't let you do that because you're going to look worse. But see, God doesn't always fix things the way we want him to, right? Matter of fact, sometimes we will do everything right and it's still not easy. It's still not comfortable. It's still not fun. Even though we were 100% honorable in what we did, we did nothing wrong. You know, Daniel could have gone to the official and said, you're not going to do it? All right, well, then we're not eating. We're not. You know, because the Bible says or the law says that we can't do this, so we're not. He could, and he would have been biblically right, right? I mean, he would have been justified in what he said, right? He would have been. And he probably would have been killed on the spot, right, for rebellion? Remember, this prisoner of war. No, I'm not going to eat your food. Okay, I guess we have no need for you now. See, we can't use the Bible as an excuse to be disrespectful. You can't. Show wisdom by treating people with kindness. It's just wisdom. Because verse 11, Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please. Please is a good word to use. Please, test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. Daniel doesn't give up. He doesn't, but instead still tries to not only honor God, but he's still trying to honor those who are in authority over him. That is high commitment. That's one who understands his place. That's one who's not trying to create waves. It's one who's not just trying to say, well, the God said so. That's just the way it is. And that's how the church is seen sometimes, aren't we? High commitment people live like they're living in a temporary world, working for an eternal reward. So instead of just taking the higher moral ground, he gives God one more chance to work a miracle. He does. But it also shows that Daniel is someone who's been around people. He's used to making relationships. He's developed communication skills. And you know what? Those are not learned alone. They're not. Just as we touched on last week, if you want to position yourself to be someone of high commitment, well, you know what? Position yourself around other people. You need to be taught. You need to teach others. You need to be able to lock arms with other people and learn how to get along. That's why we have small groups and everything. It's so you can learn to live life with other people. It's not only how we grow, but it's how we grow everyone else, right? All right, verse 14. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. So that's what we see. We see God's favor continues for Daniel. He continues to show him favor. Now, we don't even know if it's God who changed the heart of this official or if it was just Daniel's respect and honor that changed it. But to be honest, does it matter? No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter at all. Daniel intentionally treats those in authority over him respectfully. He uses wisdom God's given to him. And you know what? Worst case, what it does, it allows him for the next 10 days to live in accordance with the law without offending the people that are in authority over him. It does. It gives him at least 10 days. Now, what would you have done? Let me ask you a question. What do you think Daniel would have done after the 10 days if he actually didn't end up looking better? What if after those 10 days, you know, them just eating the vegetables and the water, that for whatever reason, they did not look any better? Matter of fact, they looked worse than all the other people who were eating the king's food. What if, you know, they got sick that week, you know, and they just literally did not look better? What do you think he would have done? What would you have done? You know what I've learned? Some of us would have just given up and eaten the king's food. You know, I mean, God had his chance to save us. I was respectful. I went through all these hoops and things. So, you know what? He obviously didn't move. He didn't help me out. So I'll just follow and do what everyone else is doing. But you know what? Immediately, as soon as I say that, some of you are like, no, no way. Pastor, I would never do that. I wouldn't. You know what that sounds like? Remember Peter? Remember that? Jesus, I would never deny you. There's no way. I would rather die. I would rather die. Let that sink in. See, often God allows us to walk through things to test us and see if we're ready for something greater. He is. It's God's way of showing us who we are and what we're able to overcome. How many of us have been in similar situations and when God didn't answer our prayers the way that we demanded, the way that we asked him nicely, because we never demand anything from God, right? And we either decided that obviously God didn't want us to do that, or I mean, God must have different plans, you know, or somehow we missed God. See, high commitment people have already made the decision that no matter the outcome, no matter the cost, they're following God, no matter what it is. That means if God asks you to give money to someone and right before you give it, you find out about a big bill that you just didn't know about, does that mean that God changed his mind? No, he didn't. I don't care how great that job offer sounds. If it takes you away from your family, if it takes you away from your church family, You better be sure that that's God that's telling you to do that before you take it. Is it possible it's God? Yeah. Did you ask him? I mean, how many of us, you know, make decisions based on what we want? And then we go to God and we almost like ask God to bless what we've already decided to do. I mean, we could just go to God first, right? And just say, God, you know, what do you want? And, you know, knowing that he's going to bless us if we do what he wants. He's going to. All right, verse 15. Oh. All right. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. I mean, in this situation, God does. He comes through for Daniel and his friends. But you know what I was thinking? What about all the other prisoners? I'd never thought of that before. As I was studying Daniel, I mean, like I said, every time you go through something that's familiar, I think God always brings out something new. And I was wondering how many other young men from the nation of Israel were in the same situation and could have been like Daniel and his friends, but they were not committed to God in the same way that they were. I tried to find out. I tried to like do some research to see how many people that they believed were, you know, were brought, you know, at that time. How many did Nebuchadnezzar grab on the way back? Couldn't find it anywhere. I do know that he went back 8 years later and he took 10,000 more slaves. So, I mean, something tells me that there probably were a number of people from Judah who decided to just eat the king's meat and drink his wine. Because I'm learning that just because you have a knowledge of God, just because you've been raised in a godly home, or just because at one time you've made a commitment to Jesus and to follow him, it doesn't mean that you'll always make the right decisions, especially when there's a cost. But I do know that if you understand what the Bible says and you've already made the decision, even before it comes, that I'm following God no matter what, you're more likely to do it. You are. Verse 16. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. See, because high commitment to God will position you for high rewards. It will. That obedience to God, it gave them incredible favor with their captives. It actually sets them up for influence later, and we'll read about the stories. It sets them up for influence later that's going to position them to be lights to those that they have, you know, to their captors. You got to remember, these are prisoners, and they're treating them with honor and respect because they're in authority over them. They didn't like these people. They wanted to go home. Verse 17, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. All right, let me wrap this up. Daniel, obviously, and his friends passed their first test, right? Flying colors. He did. Daniel and his friends showed us that having a high commitment to God has the ability to overcome any outward pressure that we get from other people. It really does. The commitment just didn't just happen by accident. The decisions had already been made. The respect was given to the official. They had a rock solid commitment to God. And it was based on an obedience to the word of God. And the fact that their decisions, they were already made up in their mind. They already knew that no matter what happened, they were going to follow God. And Daniel also shows us that having a high commitment to God has the potential of yielding great rewards. But you know what? You're not guaranteed rewards. We follow God's plan, not our plan. Sometimes the road's hard. How many of you have walked a hard road? Hasn't been easy. There haven't been a lot of bless you moments. We don't choose the road. God does. But remember, the rewards, they're not even possible if we don't treat other people with love and respect. They aren't. That's the way that God has asked us to treat people. So what are you facing in your life? What are you facing that has the potential to make you compromise your commitment to God? What decision will impact your ability to pray, your ability to praise, your ability to dig into the Word of God? What decision will impact your ability to develop relationships that will give you the opportunity to learn from other people, to grow alongside other people, and hopefully eventually to mentor other people, to give them what God's given you? What decisions are you making that will impact your ability to reach those that God has called you to touch intentionally? See, the decision now to be one of high commitment comes now. The decision already has to be made. To me, that's the biggest challenge that we face as Christians. I believe that often we walk through life with the hope of pleasing God. We do, best intentions. But we haven't purposed in our heart that no matter what, I'm going to follow God. When we walk into a situation in our brain, if there's any gossip going on, I am immediately leaving. The decision's already been made, right? If I am going to, you know, if everyone leaves work early, I'm not going to. The decision's already been made because I've already committed to my boss that I'm not going to do that. I think often we go into situations without the decision made and we let emotions and feelings and desires cloud that judgment, which make us choose things that are not godly. So my challenge to you for this week is make the decision now. No matter what God asks, no matter what situation you come into. And look, you know the situations now, right? You in your mind can think about, oh yeah, if I had already made the decision before I even got around those people, then I would make the right one. Right? Next week, we're going to actually start talking about prayer, I guess you'd say. As we're leading into this time of prayer and fasting, we're not, like I said, I'm asking you to ask God what you're going to be praying about and how to fast. How does God want you to fast? Read that piece of paper that I've given you. I think it's going to help you. For those of you who have kids, allow them to be a part of what you're doing. Allow them to begin to understand what it is to sacrifice for God. Good discipline, important discipline. Start early in their life. It will help you do that. But then next week, let's learn. As a matter of fact, next week, I think you'll find the message kind of fun. I've asked a number of people. They're going to actually give you some testimonies on how God speaks to them, how they pray. Not just me talking next week. A number of people are going to come up, and they're going to give you some insight into their prayer life. And what do they do when God speaks to them? And how have they approached those words? You may hear lots of successful ones. You might even hear one or two that, you know, I missed God on that one. God spoke and I didn't do what God wanted. We're not perfect people, but what we're trying to learn is let's be ones of high commitment. Decision's already been made, and the decision is to follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stay?